This is an Aero News Touch and Go for October 19, 2007. I'm Paul Plack. The Transportation Security Administration routinely tests its screeners, and recent report cards have not been so good. Earlier this year, in tests involving simulated hidden explosives or other threats, screeners at Denver International failed to detect hidden contraband 90% of the time. Screeners at LAX failed in 3 out of 4 attempts. Screeners at Chicago O'Hare missed 60% of the time. The TSA says, though, that we should not feel less safe knowing this, but more safe. The agency says it has raised the bar really high, forcing its screeners to be ready for threats as esoteric as makeshift bombs inside toiletry kits, or even plastic explosive materials smeared on shoelaces. But what will happen when the real terrorists read these test scores? Aviation consultant Rich Roth tells USA Today, quote, "The terrorist will think he's got a very small chance of getting caught," unquote. That infamous gaffe in August, which resulted in the Air Force flying live nuclear warheads over the U.S., will reportedly cost at least 5 Air Force personnel their careers. CNN cites unnamed sources in reporting that the squadron commander in charge of munitions at North Dakota's Minot Air Force Base was relieved of duty shortly after that B-52 flight, which brought the nukes to Barksdale Air Force Base in Louisiana for decommissioning. The plane's flight crew was found to have been unaware that the 80s vintage cruise missiles had actual nuclear warheads on them. CNN said its source was not authorized to speak on the record and therefore wished to remain anonymous, but added that criminal charges could be filed against at least some of the people responsible. The military has repeatedly said the warheads could not have exploded, even if the plane crashed, because multiple security procedures would be required to arm them. On the other hand, the reason this case made such big news at the time is that multiple security violations had to be committed for them to get airborne in the first place. On Thursday, rocket plane Kistler, which was $32 million into a $200 million budget for designing a replacement for the retiring shuttle fleet, had its contract terminated by NASA. The company was obligated by its agreement to raise $500 million in its own private financing by May of this year. When that goal was not met, work on the K-1 rocket plane stalled. NASA still needs some way to get crews and cargo back and forth to the International Space Station between 2010, when the shuttles retire, and 2014, when NASA's own Orion crew transportation vehicle's ready. So, contract bidding will be reopened. The FAA has issued a proposed airworthiness directive on Boeing 737s, advising airlines to inspect cockpit windows. Reuters reports the AD follows a similar directive in July, which applied to 747s. That action stemmed from an incident in which a cockpit window fell out, leading again to a rapid loss of cabin pressure. The recommendation affects nearly 800 737s flying in the U.S. and another 1,800 planes flying for overseas carriers. It calls for airlines to inspect the vinyl window surrounds for cracking and damage to the plastic fail-safe layer sandwiched between the glass window panes. The FAA has received reports of one 737 which lost cabin pressure when the edges of a window came loose at 12,500 feet. The other plane was flying at about 29,000 feet when a similar failure occurred. This has been an Aero News Touch and Go. Don't forget to check out our complete Aero briefing. There we'll tell you about these stories. NTSB revisits automatic fire suppression on cargo flights. U.S. Customs and Border comments on its Predator crash investigation. And Emirates says Boeing's Dreamliner doesn't meet its needs. Also, check out our ANN special feature. Today, my guest is Paula Dirks, president of the Aircraft Electronics Association. I'll ask her about two hot topics in general aviation, ADS-B and the NTSB's call for all of us to be required to have 406 megahertz ELTs. And if you haven't done so already, subscribe to our Aerocasts. Find them on iTunes, iPodder, Podcast Alley, and our website, aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.